Bibles with me for just a few minutes this afternoon, and please turn to Philippians chapter 1. We should long for that place, like I said just a moment ago, because that's where we belong. And the book of Philippians instructs us that that's where our citizenship lies. Yes, we are here in this world, and as some have called it, it's just a fleeting imperial realm. It's going to come to a close. God's going to pour out his wrath and his judgment on this world. And the things of this world are going to pass away. But those of us who know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, there is within us, there should be within us, a longing to be with our Savior. And Philippians 3, which is what we looked at earlier today, talks about our conversation being in heaven, that conversation being our citizenship. And that's where we look for our help. That's where we look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a wonderful text of Scripture that gives us not just the reality and the truth of our heavenly citizenship, but of how heaven's citizens ought to live while on earth. And it's found in Philippians chapter 1. Notice what the Bible says in verse 27 of Philippians 1. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now pause right there for just a moment. This is old English terminology to say, make sure your behavior fits with who you really are, fits with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not a word we use often, but it's a word that if you've watched any old movies or read any old books, you know the word becometh. Well, that doesn't become that person. It doesn't fit with them. This is like what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Colossians, let your walk be worthy. The Christian walk ought to be distinct. Then the natural question is, what does it mean to have a distinct walk that is worthy of the gospel, that fits with the gospel? And that's why Paul continues in verse 27, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Notice, first of all, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. So what is the behavior that fits with, that matches the gospel of Jesus Christ that Paul talks about in verse 27? It is, first of all, this afternoon, standing firm together. You notice he says here in verse 27, Paul wanted to hear that these individuals were standing fast. That is, that they were firmly committed together in conviction by unity in the Spirit of God. There was a togetherness of these people. You notice that he uses this plural usage of the pronoun, that you all, ye, stand fast. Can I remind you this afternoon that in order to stand fast in the New Testament church, you need the New Testament church. You need the body of believers to encourage you, to strengthen you, to support you. And Paul says, this is what I want to hear about your life as citizens of another realm, as citizens of heaven. I want to hear that you all together are standing fast in unity. And then notice how he continues in verse 27, not only standing firm, but striving or contending together. He says that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind. Here it is. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Literally, to be moving forward side by side in unity. Holding fast to what is true, what binds us together. Isn't it sad that in so many churches today, there's so much conflict between God's people? And there's fighting about this, and there's fighting about that, and that person just has a weird personality, and so I can't get along with them. No, according to what Paul wanted to hear of their behavior that fit with, that matched the gospel, he wanted to hear of behavior that was working together. Christians who loved one another, who were working to contend together by standing firm and striving together. This word to strive literally has the idea of struggling along someone else. To be united by a single or a common goal. It's really a military term. And in our minds, it ought to draw to our attention maybe what two soldiers would do on the battlefield as they fight the enemy. The worst thing they can do is turn to each other and begin to fight one another. To lose focus, to lose sight of the goal, the aim, the purpose. The very best things for those soldiers to do is to side by side contend. Contend for the gospel is what Paul is calling us to here. This is behavior that is becoming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it is standing together. It is striving together in verse 27. And then notice what Paul says in verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. The third characteristic or behavior of a Christian, of heaven's citizen, is not only standing firm together, striving or contending together, but suffering well together. Christians ought to suffer differently than the world suffers, right? We are not to suffer as those who have no hope, the Bible teaches us. There ought to be strength amongst one another and in the Lord to go through difficulty, to go through what he's specifically referring to in verse 28, the adversarial attack, the persecution for your faith. We ought to be able to go through that with strength together and suffer through that different than the world would suffer through that. These are distinctions for us to set up against our own life. Okay, I say I'm a citizen of heaven. I say I'm destined for another kingdom. I'm living for another kingdom. But is my behavior becoming, does it match with the gospel message? Here is the behavior in these verses that is becoming of a disciple of Jesus Christ, somebody who belongs to another kingdom. Is a person who's standing firm, person who is striving together, and a person who is suffering differently than the world. Folks, this is where our citizenship is. It's in heaven. Flip over to Philippians 3, and you're going to see this in verse 20. I mentioned this just a moment ago. Same word in verse 20, our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. And it's that place, Paul says in verse 20, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives as believers here in this world ought to be marked, ought to be distinct from the world. Our behavior ought to be different than those who are suffering, those who are going through difficulty, because we belong to another kingdom. I don't know if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., my sisters teach up in Fairfax, Virginia, and so every so often we get up to Washington, D.C., and it's really cool to see all the monuments and the different buildings. And one area of D.C. that I had never seen, it's up by the National Cathedral, is the row after row after row of these places where countries will come into America and they'll set up a little piece of their country, and they're called embassies. Maybe you're familiar with those. And as we drove down this road and I passed by, you got your English embassy over here, and there's the embassy from Brazil, and there's the embassy from Cameroon, Africa, and there's Kenya, and all these countries that come to America, and they put a little piece of their country right here in the middle of America. And in many of those places, you are walking those buildings, you're going to see their flag, right? You're going to hear their language. In many of those places, you're going to hear their news. You're going to eat their food. You're going to see their people. And it just reminded me of how Christians ought to be living in this world. Not of the world. Different, distinct, like a little piece of heaven here on earth. With different language, with different ways of suffering, with different ways of working together than the world. With different attitudes, with different music, with different entertainment, with different dress. Not to be weird or kooky, but to be biblical, right? To live like we don't belong here. I want to encourage you in this afternoon time together, as we go from this place here in just a few minutes, to really do a thorough evaluation of our 21st century American Christian lives. We are very blessed, aren't we? Really, we don't suffer like the Apostle Paul suffered and like many Christians throughout history have suffered. And in America today, although it might be getting a little worse, it's not all that difficult to be a Christian. It's easy to be a Christian in many ways, isn't it? But would we not allow the ease of being a Christian in America to pull us away from the distinctiveness that we are to have as citizens of another land. Folks, cut the ties to this earth. Mind not the earthly things. Set your affection, Paul says, on things above. Don't live for the here and now. Because Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, what you see right now, the things which are seen are temporal. But the things that are not seen, those are the things that are eternal. Citizen of heaven, can I remind you of your destination this afternoon? You're on a journey and you're destined to be with your Savior in his presence forever and ever. By God's grace, let's live like citizens of heaven, not just there, but here today.